It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Great to have you along with us. Our dreary spring weather, with the occasional brief flirtation with summer temperatures, has all of us ready to bust out of our homes to the nearest patio, deck, or even outdoor restaurant seating. Well, the same is true for driving. Windows down and sunroofs open are an integral part of summer driving. But nothing compares, however, to the unbridled pleasure of a convertible. And although this style of car has always been with us, it goes through its own cycles of popularity. These days, though, convertibles have taken a decidedly upscale tone, with very few of them being affordable to the average person. Our regular automotive contributor, Mark Savage, along with Dan Harmon, take a little road trip down memory lane and talk about this ever-changing segment of the car market.
When I was a kid, and when, you know, not that everything was perfect when I was a kid, but there used to be a lot of convertibles that families could afford and that families would buy. We had a Plymouth Valiant convertible. That was certainly a low-cost car. There were Dodge Dart convertibles. You know, the first Volkswagen Beetle was a low-cost car that came in a convertible. There were Corvairs. But there were also things like Impalas that you could buy and the whole family could fit in and go take a ride and have a good time in the summertime and so forth. And I guess my premise is that while there still are a few low-cost or semi-low-cost convertibles out there, the vast majority, I would say, are $35,000 and up, and much more are sports cars and the rich man's convertible. And there's nothing wrong with those either, but I just wish that there were more low-cost convertibles. And saying that, I got to say that almost anything you get, if it's a convertible, it adds $4,000 to $5,000 to the cost of the car. So if it was a $20,000 car, now it's a $25,000 car. That's my premise, and I just wish I'd like to see more of them out there.
Do you think that the $5,000 extra dollars for convertibles is actually reflective of the actual cost of making a car into a convertible?
Well, and this is it. Sometimes they're taking the roof off of a standard car and putting a convertible top on, and sometimes they're designing it so that it is a convertible from the get-go. For the ones that they design from the get-go, I don't think it probably is adding that much cost, but it's a good profit margin for anybody to be able to charge that much more for their car. But you think of a Beetle that maybe you can get for $20,000, and I just happened to drive a Beetle convertible recently, and it was $25,000. It was very nice. I liked it. And it's a great two-person convertible. But again, where's the back seat for somebody to, you know, take their family out and have a nice outing in the summertime?
All right. Well, something I've noticed, and actually before I even knew we were talking about convertibles, I've noticed how many older cars are out there that are convertibles, mainly Saabs, they really had a lot of convertible options for a long time, so that makes sense. But the others were kind of what have now become classic cars, like I told you about the Buick Riviera. So is there like a surging market now for used convertibles because new ones are so expensive?
Well, one, I think there's always a good market for used because, like say, cars have gotten so expensive. And for many years, we went through I guess I should be happy there are convertibles now because we went through the years back in the late 70s, early 80s and so forth where there weren't very many convertibles at all. But I think what you see is – gee, I've seen a couple of Cadillac Eldorado convertibles recently, and it's fun to see them. They're monster cars out on the highway, but you see somebody out driving along, and they may have the whole family loaded in the back seat, or at least a bunch of their friends, and they're out having a good time. And I just think that's it's inspiring to me because I'm a guy that likes cars, and I like to see people out having a good time in their cars. Convertibles used to be a good way to do that. Now it's a Mini Cooper or a Beetle or a Miata, and it's usually two people out having a good time in their car. And I don't know. It's not quite the same. I mean, obviously, we don't go to drive-in movies anymore either. We all sit at home and watch our laptops and our iPads and so forth. So.
All right. Well, before this becomes too cynical, when you travel around the country, do you sense that our convertible culture is a little different than other parts of the country? I mean, obviously, L.A. would be kind of convertible central, but
well,
do we have different requirements here?
Obviously, our climate dictates that we are only going to use the convertible 2 or 3 months of the year probably anyway. So you don't see as many in this part of the world. I mean, I'm from Indianapolis originally, and I certainly when I'm down there and occasionally you do see more convertibles because it has a little bit warmer climate. And yeah, when I've been in certainly western states, especially in California, that's a big convertible area. Again, that's also a higher price tag area too, so you do see money more of the Mercedes and the Audis and the real high-end cars that offer it. And you know, you do see some things now. There's like the Nissan 370Z has a convertible available to it. Again, now we're talking $35,000 to $40,000, but at least it is another option for the kind of middle of the road folks out there that can maybe go up a little bit. I personally like the Mustang because it's a good four-person car. You can get four people into it comfortably. And on the V6 end of it, I think it's $27,000 for a convertible. So I think that's still very reasonably priced and a fun way to get out and enjoy the world.
Do you – well, maybe you have some insight into automotive company and designer market research. What are they basing these decisions on that they need to go high-end rather than low-end with it?
Well, it's like so much of the marketing is that the high-end folks can afford a lot of different things. And so if you add $5,000 to the cost of a $45,000 car, they're willing to pay that. And, you know, this also might be a convertible in our climate in particular. This is probably a second car or a third car in your family. So you're more likely to be able to, you know, if you're more likely to afford the expensive car, you can afford that second, third, fourth car.
Do you think that we're all just too poor these days? Is that really – it might just be a result of an economic shift?
Well, and there is some of that. I guess I'd just like to see – you know, they're making a new Impala right now. I guess I'd like to see them – why not cut the top off of one of these things and see what people will do? I think because the automotive marketplace is so much follow the leader, it's really hard for anybody to have the guts to go out and take a chance on something like that. You know, the Ford Fusion, you and I have talked about it a number of times. It's a gorgeous looking car. What if you could get that in a convertible? That's a pretty nice looking car. I'd like to see that in a convertible. But I don't know. I'm sure some bean counter somewhere is saying, yeah, we could only sell 5,000 of those and we really need to sell 8,000 of those to make our money back over 5 years and so forth. So, yeah, I understand there's finances that go on here, but somebody take a chance out there for crying out loud. And Saab is gone, so we can't – they're not going to be doing it for us anymore.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the quintessential convertibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the whole hardtop convertible craze? They're still around, but do you think that – because and they're pricier, of course. Do you think that's still going to stay with us?
Right. The Miata has one still, and that's, I think, $28,000 or so for the hardtop that folds down in. That's a great – little car and a, you know, a nice little perk, I think, because it's always quieter to have a hard top versus a, you know, a canvas or cloth top on the thing. I know Lexus had one in one of their fancier two-seaters. And like I say, that was kind of a hot thing for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And now that's about it. You know, it hasn't caught on a whole lot more. Volvo had, I know, another one, you know, I think it was their V70, the convertible. Really nice looking car.
Pontiac had one too.
And Pontiac had one too. But gee, every time we mention somebody, they're gone. Pontiac's gone. Saab's gone. What's going on? Maybe they shouldn't have made all those convertibles. Oh, no.
Yeah, you mentioned the Malibu before. And what I would like to see is the return of the four-door convertible. I don't think anything that we talked about is a four-door convertible. And that was even a specialty item back when they were in their heyday.
Right. It's pretty rare to see a four-door convertible ever, and I'm guessing that probably won't happen either, except and the reason I'll say except is because so many more of the cars are now four doors than when I was growing up. There were a lot of coupes out there. There aren't very many coupes anymore except for the sports cars and the faster cars and so forth. So it's possible somebody's going to take one of those four doors and put a nice convertible top on it, and maybe if we're lucky it's a power hardtop too and it looks really great and only cost $25,000 and we'll all be able to afford one.
Right, cost $25,000 for the top alone.
Well, for that kind of yeah, range. Well, sometimes that's the case. And there are some cars out there like an Audi A6 that is a four-passenger car at least that you can get in a convertible. So, you know, it's still, I believe, a two-door, but, it, you know, at least you can get four people into it and ride comfortably. So, but then again, we're talking $45,000, $46,000, $48,000.
Well, so since you're so up on automotive design, I'll ask you, is there anything more adventurous or daring coming down as far as convertibles go? Do you think any companies are going to try something unique?
Every once in a while, there's a show car, but I have not seen anything real recently. There was a Buick I know a couple of years ago that kind of had a retractable roof that slid back, which was reminiscent of some of the show cars they had in the 50s. And there was even a Studebaker that had a roof that slid back that was over the bed of the station wagon. And I think it's a great, interesting design and fun, but I bet that they're not going to do something like that. I guess the other thing that has kind of taken the place of that in the four-passenger or the four-door cars is the giant sunroof. And there's certainly a lot of those, and a lot of the minivans and the SUVs and so forth and crossover vehicles are getting more and more of the panoramic sunroofs in them. So that opens up. It's not the same feeling. I guess you can put the windows down and maybe feel like you got a little more air coming in and so forth. But it's not the same thing. I can tell you after a week of driving this Beetle convertible, it's hard to go to work or go home in a bad mood because you put the roof down and it's 75 or so degrees and life is good. So anybody that has a chance, well, at least test drive one, take a look. It will fuel the convertible market.
Good point. All right. Just want to get your opinion on it. Do convertibles make middle-aged men look older or younger?
Maybe you have to ask middle-aged women what they think of that one. I don't know. I've seen an awful lot of middle-aged guys in them. So maybe it's also saying something about a certain time of life that they'd like to, like to feel a little younger.
All right. Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Dan Harmon spoke with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel auto writer and Lake Effect contributor Mark Savage, who is also the editor of American Snowmobiler magazine. It's published by Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. Scottish writer Ian Rankin has penned some of the most successful crime fiction in the last 30 years. He was in Milwaukee in March to read from his latest, Standing in Another Man's Grave, and he stopped by the Lake Effect studio to talk with us about it. We'll return with that conversation in just a moment on WUWM.